treat us like felons. And so there is, you know, I mean, if you listen to things that Mike Pence has said in the past, we are all the devil, and therefore,
right,
you know, that hasn't been specifically said, but I got to imagine that if they are elected, if that ticket is elected, we will see the kind of raids that are happening in places like California and in Canada, happening all right. over all the legal states in this country.
You know, I got to tell you, because they all have their all these elected officials have their lobbyists, and there's just a part of me that always wonders, like, you know what? I wonder if they're pushing so hard for the TPP as sort of like a negotiating. Like, I'll tell you what, we're not going to enforce marijuana, you know, big farm like you want us to, but we're going to pass these new patent protections for you, so your profit's going to be as high as ever.
Right, as a sort of a consolation prize, like, right. Hey, we're gonna hurt your business a little bit.
On one end, but we're going to make it way better for you on the other end. I think that stuff like that happens, you know. I would not be surprised anyways if I found
it's
out.
It's essentially like what the FCC did with the telecom industry, where they said, all right, hey, if you work with us and allow us to spy, we will provide you with
immunity.
The net neutrality. You know,
right.
The,
yeah, that too. Yeah,
get
rid of it.
That was the same argument that happened there.
Yep. All right. Well, it's 6:30. Can you believe that much? We even started a little early tonight. Can you imagine?
That is amazing. We just blew through that.
Well,
every time.
Thanks everyone for listening. Remember, if you're out there, come rock against the TPP this Saturday night. And if you're not in a union, think about joining one. Keep up the good fight. Keep working hard. And we'll see you next week.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Avalon Sanctuary Fundraiser, Saturday, August 27th, from 4 to 9 p.m. at 19th and Avalon in Southeast Portland. Avalon Sanctuary is a dead-end street that is being turned into a community green space. The first part of the event will be an open bluegrass jam, and storytellers will share the history of inner Southeast Portland. Again, that's Avalon Sanctuary Fundraiser on Saturday, August 27th from 4 to 9 p.m. at Southeast 19th and Avalon in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Community Radio, and I'm your host, Carlos Chavez. Got a real nice program for you tonight. My guest for this evening is my friend, a friend that I've known for quite some time, who's got a long resume in the performing arts as well as advocacy for those who are incarcerated. He's working on hosting an exciting and important event that'll be going down later next month, titled In These Walls, an event that combines artistry and meaningful discussions on the topic of solitary confinement. I'd like to introduce you all to Phil Stockton.
Hey, how's it going?
I know, man. Thanks for being here tonight.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Well, so I've known you for a little bit, you know. originally, I met Phil at McLaren Youth Corrections. He was doing some theater work there, some really... you know, his youth were really engaged, a very impressive theatrical program that he had going on there, and was, you know, really impressed with what you were doing back then. Now you've got this event going on. That's going to be happening September 28th, correct?
September 28th, Wednesday.
Let's just go ahead and start there. Why don't you go ahead and just talk about what that event's about and what folks can expect.
Yeah. So the event, it's September the 28th on Wednesday, and it's happening at Saruman House, which is in the Alberta District. It's on the 23rd Street in Alberta. And essentially, the event came about because I'm working on a piece, a theater piece, about solitary confinement in Oregon State Penitentiary down in Salem. And so I thought, you know, what a shame that we're doing this piece. I'm probably going to be able to get in maybe 20 to 30 people to see it from the public. And these guys are putting all this amazing work into this piece and nobody's going to see it. And not only that, but I mean, it's really something that should be talked about. So why not try to export it a little bit, you know, and show it on the outside and have people actually talk about solitary confinement and have an evening of discussion. So it sort of... it's got legs and it's gotten bigger. And essentially what it is now is that we have an evening which is in two parts. So the first part is artistic. So we're going to have visual arts. We actually have, do you know Herman's House? That's the piece about solitary confinement. There's a woman called Jackie Summel. She did a visual arts collaboration with Herman Wallace in Angola, Louisiana.
Okay, so I was wondering if that's who you were talking about.
Yeah, so she's actually sent some art out. We're going to have a visual arts presentation part of it. We're going to, there's actually art from some of the guys at OSP. Hopefully we're going to have art from some of the corrections officer. They put out a call for arts from the corrections officer, so we can get a look at the other side as well.
Wow.
And then there's going to be dance pieces. We're working on a dance piece. We're working on, hopefully we're going to have an excerpt from the piece that we're working on at the Oregon State Penitentiary called, it's called The Bucket. And then we're going to have also some readings from a book, which is an interesting book. It's called Hell is a Very Small Place, and it's by Sarah Shord and by Gene Casella, and we got permission from them to use it. So we're going to have different excerpts from that put into a sort of a theatrical context.
Nice.
Some music, some poetry from a couple of guys that you know from Morpheus Youth Project, which will be great. So we're working on that. So that's, we're forming that. So that's going to be an hour. And then the other part of it, after we have an hour of artistic stuff and pieces, we're going to have an hour of discussion. There's going to be a panel discussion. And the panel at this point is going to include the House Majority Leader, actually, Representative Jennifer Williams.
Wow.
And it's also going to include a couple of the chaplains from Oregon State Penitentiary, Karuna Thompson, and Avraham Perlstein. And we got a couple of ex-inmates, one from California and one from Oregon, because the one guy spent, Mustafa Moore, spent time in OSP, actually, and in solitary confinement. And then I wanted to sort of get a viewpoint from somebody out of state. So we also have somebody who's who's actually spent time in Pelican Bay down in California, which I think will be interesting too, because you know, California, the solitary confinement picture has changed a bit and stuff. And
so, and the struggle that they've had, you know, about the shoe for quite some time now. And so that would, definitely bring in a whole really, really important perspective.
Yeah, exactly. So there's going to be, they're going to be on the panel. And then we also hoping to get representatives from the Department of Corrections. We're waiting to hear back on that right now. And we're also hoping to get, you know, one or two more, hopefully, state representatives and stuff. So the whole idea of it, it's going to be an educational and informational evening. So there'll be an artistic component, and there's going to be the discussion after that. So it's just kind of a really educational, informational evening about what is solitary confinement in Oregon really look like. Not only that, what's happening in the future. So what's, you know, what are the next steps? You know, are there changes afoot? You know, we hear maybe there are, we don't know.
Yeah.
If there are, you know, what are those going to look like? And what does it look like now? And in contrast to someplace like California, where they have enacted some of the changes, right?
Yeah.
So it's really informational and just kind of a real, what I wanted to do is put together an evening where the community could really find out more about it, you know, because I'm uneducated in it. I mean, I'm maybe a little less so than most folks, but, you know, for me, I have a lot of questions about it.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be interesting to get all these people in a room and just talk to them and find out, hey, you know, what's actually going on? What are the next step? What is, you know, and have that backed up by some of the artistic expression that we see coming out of the prisons.
It sounds like an excellent idea. I think the variety of perspectives that you're bringing to the table, the variety of folks
yeah.
who are like deeply involved in some way
yeah.
Is going to really make for a really interesting discussion.
Yeah,
but the artistic piece is like, you know, art always has a way of transcending language, you know, and
yeah.
it's a different kind of glue that's going to bring
yeah,
that conversation
for sure.
together. So
yeah.
brilliant idea.
Art's like a shortcut to the soul, man. I mean, if
yeah,
it's done properly,
there you go.
It's just kind of like boom. You
yeah.
know? So that's what I'm hoping, to have the two back to back, right? And I'm gonna shill it now a little bit. It's $15 ticket,
yeah.
$15, and
yeah.
We'll have some tickets at the door for, you know, pay what you can.
Yeah,
and you can get the tickets at
bighousekite.org.
Nice. Big House Kite is the name of the organization I put together for this. So.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you to talk a little bit more about that. But let's hang on for yeah. a minute. We'll jump into that. But why solitary confinement?
Well, so this actually, I'm working my thing, as you know, because we work together. But my thing is doing theater in prisons and incarcerated facilities, and I've been doing that for a number of years now. One of the things, if the group reacts in a positive way and the group coalesces and comes together, then I always ask them, what do you want to work on? What do you want to do? I mean, that works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't, right? I mean, you know what it's like. Sometimes it depends on the group.
Yep.
So this group is really great. I mean, this OSP group is you know, I have some guys who are really interested in expressing themselves and coming together, really putting together some interesting work. So, you know, so I asked them, I started this probably about a year ago, and I asked them then, we did some improvisation. I always start with improvisation and then character creation, and then we try to think of some kind of central conflict or some kind of idea that we're going to do a piece around. So the first one that I did was about 6 months. It started about a year ago, and I asked them, what do they want to do? And they actually did a piece about hospice in prison, right? Mm. Because a lot of people die in prison,
yeah.
especially in, you know, places like OSP, max facilities. You have these guys walking around with canes and in their 80s and you know, and cancer and hepatitis. And so where do they wind up? They wind up in the hospice, which is a small little hidden area of the hospital, of the prison. And they wind up dying there. And the people who sit by their bedsides and give them solace are other inmates. So I had a couple of guys in my group who, an inmate had died recently of cancer, and it had really affected them, and they wanted to do a piece around it. So we did a piece about hospice called Michael's Song. Mm. And when that was done, there were, you know, we'd done this piece, this workshop, and then I said, okay, what do you want to do next? And they immediately, you know, a couple of guys said, let's do something, something on solitary confinement. So
that was pretty unanimous?
Yeah, I mean, once we came up with the idea, there was one guy who wanted to do a comedy. He's like, oh man, you know, all this stuff is so, you know, it's
one of the things I was kind of wondering about.
Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, that stuff is so heavy and stuff. I want to get out of here, man. I don't want to live in prison all the time, yeah. you know, mentally and stuff. So I promised him the next piece that we're going to do is going to be a scripted comedy.
Nice.
So, right on. I don't know. It's like, so I got to work on that one and see. But for now, you know, we're doing this piece on solitary, and it's really interesting. The guys have come up with some very interesting stuff. Each of them basically has 5 minutes to or 10 minutes, whatever they need really to create their own piece. And I have 8 guys in the group now who've created pieces, and each one is you know, about solitary. So what we do at the beginning of it, the guys come out and they actually take masking tape and they create a 6x9 box. And then they're going to throw a blanket, throw a mattress in it, and throw a bucket in it, you know, for the toilet, and that's all that's going to be in there. And then each one gets up and does his piece in the actual in the actual cell, or out of the cell, depending on where they're at, right, in their imagination and stuff. But
talk a little bit about the guys in the group. I'm interested to hear about kind of like what are the perspectives that they're coming from, you know, and
well,
you know, what are they bringing to the table.
I mean, some of them. I have one guy who's been in, who was in solitary for about 9 years. He's actually got a great poem around it called, it's 3,275 Days is, I think, the name of his poem. It's really intense. Sterling Cuneo. And he's a real leader in the group, and he's very, very active and just, you know, very interested in performing. So he's been, you know, and a lot of them have experience in the whole. I mean, as you may know, it doesn't always take much to get put in there. You know, you can, for infractions, for assaulting an officer, you know, getting into a fight, and there's all kinds of scenarios where you can wind up for, you know, it's been 180 days in solitary. So quite a few of them. I think there's only actually maybe two out of the eight who don't have experience in solitary.
Okay.
And those who haven't, you know, what they've done is they've either interviewed other members in the prison, or what they did, or they've actually gone to source material, like that book that I was telling you about, Hell is a Very Small Place. So we actually, there's one guy, Shaka Singor is an inmate who was in solitary for a long, long time. He's out now, but yeah. So he has some really powerful writing in there, like one chapter and stuff. And so one of the inmates took that writing from that book and combined it with the book that Shaka wrote, and I can't remember the name of it right now, unfortunately. But and he put that together, and that made that his piece, right? So he's using and personalized a little bit. But he actually got permission from Shaka to do that, which was really cool.
Nice.
So
what were their reasons for choosing this topic? And I mean, why was it that this was something that was compelling to them?
I think you know, again, it's one of those dark areas of prison. I mean, it's getting a fair amount of attention right now, but it's something that they really wanted to talk about. And because they'd had personal experiences, I think there was a need to just talk about it and to express some of what was going on in there. And it's interesting to see how they've expressed it. You know, some of them are singing, some of them are doing poetry. Some of them are doing straight up. We have this one cool piece where a guy's sitting in his cell, and he is having a scene, a dramatic scene with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend is not there, you know, obviously because he's in the cell, right? But he imagines this whole thing, and his girlfriend happens to be Drew Barrymore. So he's got pictures of her all over the cell and stuff. And he's actually having this sort of dramatic scene, like, you know, hey, how come you never call me anymore and stuff like that, you know?
Oh, wow,
like
what
that.
A trip.
So it's, so you know, and there are all these different aspects that these guys go through. We actually started it by trying to sort of map out some of the emotions that you go through when you're in solitary, so that, you know, just to sort of define that and give us sort of a jumping off point, you know, and then we talked about what emotion were the guys going to do in their piece, or maybe try to, you know, just a way to think about it and stuff. And it was actually, we you know, the Kubler-Ross, there's a Kubler-Ross is this whole methodology. She was a very intense a scientist, and she came up with this whole methodology of sort of mapping out emotional loss and grief and stuff. And so it was interesting because we kind of looked at that just without knowing. They didn't know anything about Kubler-Ross, and so we just mapped out the emotions and stuff. And then I actually brought in the Kubler-Ross model, and we looked at it to see how it was similar. And it was pretty stunning how similar it was, you know, as far as the phases that they go through and stuff, and depression and anger and you know, grief and having to clutch onto one of the big ones is having to clutch onto some kind of routine, because that's what keeps you sane,
to get you through it
because otherwise you're going to be banging your head against the wall, you know,
24/7,
and you know, that's not going to do you any good.
Well, and that's the thing. All right, so let's hold on to that thought for just one second. I want to get into like stigmatizations and, you know, like what are some of the stereotypes that people have,
right?
I want to remind you that you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland. I'm your host for Prison Pipeline tonight, Carlos Chavez, and my guest tonight is Phil Stockton, who's working on an amazing project that's going to be happening on the 28th of September. Go ahead, Phil, tell them again, you know, what the event is, what's it called, and what's going on, but also, and then kind of jump into this, you know, the overall project that you have. I'm forgetting the name right now. Big Kite?
Big House Kite.
Big House Kite. I'm sorry.
So the name of the actual project that we're going to be doing is the one on the outside is called Within These Walls. It's happening September the 28th at Saruman House, which is on 23rd Street in Alberta, in that area, so in the Alberta district. And it'll be at 7 p.m. September 28th. And there's more information at bighousekite.org. So as far as the larger picture is concerned, you're talking about what I've been doing.
I'd like to know kind of what's kind of gone into that as well. What's the backstory to this whole thing? You know.
Yeah, I started off. I worked at a great outfit in Richmond, in California, called the East Bay Center for the Performing Arts, and did media literacy and arts integration in inner city schools. We worked in Oakland, but we mainly worked in Richmond. And I had always wanted to work in prisons and also hospitals as an actor and as a theater artist. And the opportunity came up for me to actually do a piece of work with the juvenile detention facility in Contra Costa County. And it was actually, you'd be interested in this because I know Morpheus Youth Project does a lot of hip hop. So, and I think we talked about this at one point where we did this collaboration between two different facilities where we actually used sound and rap, and they were actually talking back and forth we would record rap in one facility and then the others would listen to it, react to it. So it became this whole thing, sort of an interesting project. And that just really kind of changed me as far as how interactive it was and just how immediate it was, and really impressed on me more than ever before. I mean, I'd always had a real, real understanding and also just a respect for the transformative nature of art. And that just really kind of put it over the top for me. And I from then on, I just always looked, and that was always one of the things that I wanted to do. I actually, you know, hardly act here and there every once in a while, but this is in kind of the focus of what I'm doing right now. And it took me to 6 different prisons. I worked at San Quentin for a year, and I worked at the San Francisco County in San Bruno. And that was interesting because a lot of those guys are passing through. So, you know, I had a group of like 32 guys every week.
Wow.
And 16 of them would be like, you know, just passing through, you know, waiting for the court dates or whatever, and getting their attention and trying to do theater with those guys. That was a challenge.
Yeah. I have guys at Multnomah County Juvenile that I work with, but much smaller group. But similar type of challenge. So how do you keep everybody's attention?
Yeah, exactly.
And a majority of it in the past was with at adult facilities, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I went from San Quentin, but actually there was McLaren in the middle there. So I did San Quentin, and then I moved to Oregon and looked around up here. And it was actually surprisingly difficult to get into the prisons here. You know, you have to find that sort of bureaucratic.
Which is interesting, because you would think in California it would have been, you know, it would have been reverse scenario.
But it's actually, no, it was actually more difficult up here. And maybe that's because it's more of a closed system. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure what the reason for that is. But it took me a while to get into it. And then Kathleen Twerlerton put an ad out saying, hey, we're looking for a theater person at McLaren. The youth facility, and so I applied for that and talked to her and got in there, and that was great for about a year. Did that program, and then went on to the Oregon State Penitentiary. Alternating youth and adults, and it's interesting. I mean, you know, especially doing theater and stuff. I mean, doing theater with the youth can be significantly more challenging than doing it with the adults, because you know, it's they're they're not, there's more, I think, an emphasis with the youth. They're still jockeying for position. They're still kind of like, you know, hey, what's my, you know,
they're still finding their place.
They're still finding their place. Exactly. You know, and then, you know, what am I doing? And do I want to do this? No, you know, is this stupid? Is it not stupid? You know, so with the adults, in my experience anyway, they're, you know, especially at OSP, you know, you're dealing with a group that's a little bit more settled. I mean, you know, it also has a difference because a lot of them are long timers, right? So they're really looking for an escape, and they're looking for, you know, someplace that they can put their energy and really educate themselves and just, you know, carry themselves that step out of the walls. And So it's been sort of alternating with the youth and adults.
Well, yeah, and like you said, it's always an interesting dynamic. I kind of wanted to jump back into that. Well, and I, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about it left, but I mean, because this conversation is, I'm really enjoying this conversation with you. It's kind of cool because we're kind of catching up too. You know, that whole, you know, I think a lot of folks, you know, you and I know that, you know, for the youth that we work with or the guys that we're working with, you know, at whatever type of facility, you know, most people's impressions about folks that are in there is like, oh, they're criminal and they don't, you know, why do they deserve to have anything like this going on? And, you know, why do we need to be talking about solitary, you know, or are we supposed to feel sorry for them because they're put in solitary confinement? Well, there's good reason why they were put in there. What are some of the things that that you've come in contact with that have kind of opened your eyes to you know, why it is that we should be spending some, you know, focusing some attention on that?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. I mean, I think it's overused if I can under exaggerate or, you know, not, but it's there are places where it's become an excuse, you know, and I don't know that that's as much of a thing in Oregon necessarily from what I have seen, although, you know, I haven't seen enough facilities to really, you know, be able to say that. You know, Snake River is the big institution where they do the majority of the solitary confinement. So I haven't been there and I haven't been able to see or talk to those guys and stuff. But I mean, for nationally, on a national level, I know for a fact, you know, and all the statistics prove, there's even a report on it, the Vera report that we talked about before, which is a very interesting report on solitary confinement, which really talks about the overuse of solitary confinement in the American prison system, especially when it comes to, you know, private institutions and the private, you know, industrial complex, right? So that is, so, you know, that's a, it's a big, big concern. And I see a lot of it, and when I go into prison, and, you know, sometimes I've had guys drop out of my group. You know, where are they? Oh, they, you know, they're in the hole. They got bounced, and they're in the hole now. So, you know, so I mean, you see it firsthand, and so it's really a concern, and I've been keeping up on the national, you know, the national prevalence of it, and I feel it's just really something that needs to be addressed. It needs to be looked at, and also needs to be, you know, looked at in Oregon, you know, and that's why I wanted to do this event. It's like, how do we square up to the national picture? Is Oregon worse? Is Oregon better? If we're better, and I get the sense that we are slightly better, right, than some of the big states who have the huge prison, the private prisons, right, where it's easier and sometimes more profitable to throw somebody in the hole than to, you know, have them in general population. So how do we square up, and what is the future of that for Oregon? What are we, you know, where are we now, and where are we going to go? So that's my interest, and that's why I did this whole thing. But yeah, I mean, it's not a pretty picture.
No. And not, you know, this subject matter is not always the easiest thing either, you know? So I commend you for what you're doing. And this event sounds like an amazing event. I'll definitely be there. And why don't you tell the folks again where they can find out some more information about the event, how they can get, you know, involved or you know,
yeah,
actually
absolutely
go to the event.
Yeah, it's
The name of the organization is Big House Kite, and the website is bighousekite.org, and you can go there, and there are actually links there to buy tickets. They're $15, and it's happening September 28th on Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and there'll be the, like we talked about, the artistic and also the panel portion, so
cool.
Should be an interesting night.
Well, I look forward to it, and I want to thank you again for coming and joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate it.
Hey, man, it's a lot of fun. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO, Portland, KBOO Community Radio. I've been your host, Carlos Chavez. I want to thank our engineer for tonight, Danielle. And tune into Prison Pipeline. We air every Monday night from 6:30 to 7. You can also stream us at kboo.fm. For more information, log on to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline for previous archive shows and what have you. And thanks for tuning in.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Montevilla Jazz Festival, taking place August 20th and 21st at Portland Metro Arts in Portland. The Montevilla Jazz Festival focuses on Portland's originally composed progressive jazz scene and will feature Jeff Baker, The In-Betweens, the Jessica Smith Big Band, Batita Diferente, and many more, including a full lineup on the student stage. Again, that's the Montevilla Jazz Festival, taking place August 20th and 21st at Portland Metro Arts, 9003 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Produced by Her.